Oh, we weren't.
Well, he's
live.
Recording.
I'm recording.
This so, is I mean, bonus.
This stuff will be in there before.
It's for the patrons.
Oh.
I don't know,
we not. Really need to work out something for the patrons.
Well, that's what the preamble, postamble stuff was, you know, like that other people do, where they do all the interesting conversation beforehand, and then the podcast itself sucks, raw, and so then you have to pay extra to hear the good stuff.
Yeah, like all the stuff that we talked about before here.
There is good stuff?
No, but we would hypothetically need to record good stuff or just pretend like we had good stuff, because once people pay, fuck them.
Okay.
That's capitalism, baby.
So you were talking about
capitalism
Kira.
Or prostitution?
I mean, no, that's going to be capitalism.
Capitalism, yeah.
Capitalism. Because prostitution, you could make sure that you deliver a good service
in
exchange
for
the money.
No, I'm just saying. It's like after you pay, then you fuck them.
Yeah, but literally versus metaphorically. Also, most prostitutes are, you know, they don't make you pay in advance.
Oh.
Not that I know.
You were talking about Kira of the Dark Crystal.
Yeah, like because in the original movie, it's just she has her pet and its name is Fizgig. But then retroactively with the series and the books and everything like that, that's just the name of that species. So she just named her Fizgig Fizgig.
Yeah. Well, I've known people to name their cat like Cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My parents had a cat named Cat.
Yeah.
My favorite, though, is there was the one good line in the terrible movie Dragonheart.
No. Dragonheart's not terrible.
It is.
It's all the sequels are the worst.
I didn't realize there were sequels.
I am the last one.
There's so many sequels
and
to Dragonheart.
And they're all really bad.
They're all really bad. The first one is tolerable.
Yeah, the sad thing about the Dragonheart series is that first one is the height of the Dragonheart series.
It's like Highlander.
No, it's nowhere near as good as Highlander.
Oh, yeah, okay. But I'm using that comparison as Highlander 1 is the best of the Highlander series.
I'd only say it's like Highlander if Dragonheart 2, it turned out the dragons were aliens.
That would be amazing.
Anyway, for those of you listening that haven't been forced to endure Dragonheart, the best line in the movie is that the dude who makes friends with the dragon names him Draco, and the dragon is promptly like, "Oh, so instead of just calling me dragon, you'll call me dragon in a different language."
Yeah, well, you know.
Interesting fact: did you know that our friend Jim, his first viewing of the Highlander series is the second one?
Yeah.
What?
So when he finally got around to seeing the first one, he was very confused why none of them were talking about the fact that they were from another planet. Like, how come no one's bringing it up? Seems like pretty important character development to just not mention.
Well, I mean,
Highlander 2.
I mean, Highlander 3 was not a good movie, but I absolutely love that they just completely ignored that Highlander 2 existed.
Well, and just let's redo Highlander 1 with Mario Van Peebles as the Kurgan.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was just like Highlander 3 was not a good movie, but I really appreciated the fact that that half of the movie was just clips from Highlander 1 shown again, and B, they completely ignored Highlander 2.
Can we just talk about how Clancy Brown is an underrated international treasure?
I had no idea he was the fucking devil in Mandalorian. You haven't seen Mandalorian yet?
I have. He's the
devil guy that was in the prison.
Yeah, their species has a name. It's not the devil.
It's the devil.
I was confused. But yeah, yes, that was Clancy Brown.
What's their species name?
He's also Mr. Krabs.
Wait, yes, but what's his species name?
Oh, I don't know. I just know it's not the devil.
Oh, come on. Break out your Wikipedia.
I can break out Wikipedia. Yeah. I mean, I have the breast section bookmarked.
Sure.
Hi, and welcome to Crippled System.
Yeah, welcome to the Crippled System, episode 304.
304!
My name is Andy.
My name is Nana.
And I'm Dave.
304, interesting, because if you square all three digits and add those products together, you get another perfect square.
Yeah.
It's almost like a 3-4-5 triangle, because you'd get the 9, the 16, and the 25. Mm. It just struck me as interesting. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go on to back onto Wikipedia
also,
here.
Also, another 100 episodes, and we can skip one and call it a joke.
What? Why?
Because then it would be episode 404.
What?
404 is the HTTP code for not found.
Did we remember not to broadcast episode 288 because it was too gross?
That was made on that episode.
I know.
That joke was. I'm just gonna go
it's
straight.
It's a Deveronian.
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 Yeah.
Holy shit, the name of the Deveronian that you see briefly in A New Hope is sure a whole bunch of letters and apostrophes.
So a Deveronian is not derived at all from devil. So you could just call me a devil in a different language.
I liked the non-tattooed slash face-painted guy who was the same race as Darth Maul that they showed in that, too, just to really strike home that that's not what Darth Maul's race always looks like.
What's the name of the race?
Oh, my Lord.
Horned Hedaian.
No. I'll look it up. Darth Maul species.
So say, weren't they in,
yet they don't have a fucking species name for the Yodas.
They do in my mind. Those are goddamn Tonberries.
Tonberries?
They look just like Tonberries. Well, they got the little, they got the tan robes, the green bald heads. All they need is a chef's knife and a lantern.
Yoda didn't really look like a Tonberry that much, though.
Well, I mean,
at least in canon Yoda. But
Dathomirian.
Definitely the little. The child was definitely looked like a Tonberry and walked like a Tonberry.
Well, wait, no, but Dathomirian is the thing that we just said.
It's Devomirian.
Oh, okay. Well, then this is asking about him being maybe he looks like a full-blooded Zabrak, but he's actually a Dathomirian. So what the hell's that? Species of Darth Maul is Dathomirian Zabrak. Yeah, it's saying he should be a Zabrak. So maybe it's like a horse and a zebra where they look very, very similar and you can mix them up.
I thought Clancy Brown was allergic to...
The creation of the Dathomirian species was the result of hybridization between human females and male Zabrak.
Well, there we go. So he's like a donkey or a mule. Which one is the one that isn't a species?
The mule.
Yeah, so he's a mule.
Because they can't procreate.
No, they said he was a full-blooded Zabrak, so he's a donkey.
No, he's a Dathomirian.
Oh, okay.
He's a Dathomirian, not a Zabrak. So he's a mule, but he looks like a donkey, but his mother was a horse.
Okay.
There are
Dathomirians and Jedi Fallen Order, which is a really good game play if you haven't already.
So there's no female. Well, I guess there could be female Zatharaks. Are there?
Do we have some?
So what if you have a male human and a female Zatharak and you breed them? Is that still a Dathomirian? Or are Dathomirians just from male? Well,
this is the first
female.
I've heard that Zabraks are that Dathomirians are explicitly hybrids.
Well, you know, there we go.
I went down a hole I did not want to.
Well,
go down
you brought it up. Yeah, I just said there was a dude with no tattoos, and you were like, get on Wikipedia. And getting on Wikipedia is never an advisable thing
about,
to do.
Then we're talking about just breeding species and Andy's going down holes. So,
Was it a Dathomirian hole? Because
couldn't tell.
Nothing happening there, buddy. You got to go back to the Zabrak well.
I thought Clancy Brown was allergic to the prosthetics in that. Because that was one of the things I remember him talking about playing the Kurgan, is that the prosthetics they put across his neck and that...
It's probably just different materials. Like, it might have been all, like, silicone back then, and now they use some kind of a foam hybrid thing that's not the same.
Sure, they might not.
Yeah, like, latex. He could have latex allergies, and it's a different... Yeah. That's why I wouldn't use a condom when I slept with him.
Sure.
Like, you wouldn't if you had a chance.
Not
Clancy Brown.
Not Clancy Brown.
Out of respect, if nothing else.
He is most definitely the pitcher in that situation. You are the receiver.
Right, that's what I mean.
Yeah. So he didn't have to wear a condom.
No, he wouldn't wear a condom.
Oh, okay.
He refused to wear a condom because he's allergic.
Sure. Fair enough. Couldn't you use like lambskin or something?
But he
like
made
that?
Me wear one just to make sure I didn't get anything on the furniture.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, you're
so is he just using it as an excuse so he doesn't have to wear a condom? Because if you use a condom, it's still touching.
What?
Yep.
What?
Announcement.
No, he wouldn't have to touch. Let's say he doesn't have the common courtesy to give me a reach around,
Andy,
to go into really explicit detail
here.
He doesn't have to touch my condom.
This is the episode that is demonetized.
You want me to get back on Wikipedia? I swear to God.
I'm going to get a cameo from Clancy Brown for you.
Well, he's too good to be on Cameo. He's on Cameo, I will buy a Clancy Brown Cameo. The other underappreciated international treasure is goddamn Catherine O'Hara. I love Catherine O'Hara, and she is the best in everything she's ever done.
Famous of being in Vacation, isn't it? Vacation. Oh no, I'm thinking of somebody. I'm thinking of Beverly D'Angelo.
You're thinking of Beverly D'Angelo. Catherine O'Hara is going to be the mom in Beetlejuice. She's the mom in Home Alone. She's on Schitt's Creek.
She's horrible.
She's on Schitt's Creek. She's in the Christopher Guest films. Like, she was amazing in Mighty Wind. She's amazing. Catherine O'Hara, underappreciated.
Also a horrible mother.
How dare you?
In Home Alone. I mean.
Her daughter counted the kids, and her daughter said that she counted all the kids just because she counted heads and some random kid with the same hat as Kevin happened to walk by. Like, that's, yeah, I mean, somebody probably
multiple times.
That. Yeah.
Multiple times.
When you have like 47 kids.
Nancy Brown is an un-cameo. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Damn straight he's not on Cameo. He's too good for it.
I start seeing advertisements for Cameo on my Facebooks. We have some announcements. Is it when is Adepticons?
The weekend that includes like the 27th ish.
Okay, all right.
The last weekend of March.
I don't have a place to stay.
It's
for
Thursday
that.
Through Sunday, the last weekend of March. I think I have a place to stay. I'll have to double check with my regular guy.
Could I stay with you?
It depends on if I have a place to stay. Yeah, I have to double check with my regular guy.
Yeah, we were kind of waiting for Nicholas to set up an Airbnb for everyone.
Oh, he's not my regular guy, but if that happens.
Yeah.
I got a cot. I got two cots.
No, I got a guy who normally gets a thing in the hotel.
I had a guy, but that guy moved like further downtown, and I can't stay with him anymore.
He could. It would just be less efficient.
It would be basically as if I was driving from Madison to Adepticon.
Which is also an option. It's only like, 2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. If
it's on the northwest of Chicago anyway.
Yeah. I guess I have my iPass. I know you have your iPass. We've talked about it many times, but you have your U-Pass.
Yeah.
iPass. Would you like to pay? iPass.
Yeah, we've
it's right there in the name.
My wife has adopted the same strategy for Illinois tolls.
Yeah, your wife is a wise woman. She is sagacious beyond her years.
Got a letter yesterday, and it's like, so they say we owe them $500. Yep. Can they do anything to us? Nope. Okay.
You mean that letter you never got? I never got any letters.
Yeah. No. The only time I succumbed to it is, and actually I fought it with a letter and I got it reduced, is the one trip I was going with Leslie to go pick up the board.
The thing that broke me for good was when my dad was dying and I had to drive from the hospital to O'Hare and to get my brother who had flown in and then back to the hospital. And then I got off on the exit and it was cash only, automated system only. So it was coin only. And it's like, I don't have coins. I literally can't pay. Fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Like, if you're literally going to make it impossible for me to pay, I'm just not going to pay then.
Yep.
Easy peasy.
Even then, it's not something that is like going online onto their website, trying to figure out which toll you took. Like, that makes no fucking sense. You should have a interactive giant fucking map that you could plot out your course rather than plug it in two destinations and have it just figure it out for you.
What pissed us off is that we tried to go in and do it online, and it said, we don't have your license plate in there again, and then kind of forgot about it. But you only have 7 days, and there's only a certain number of days that it's actually available because it takes a while to actually put through the system.
So you have a little bit more than that, but like for my case, I put in the license plate, and it's a very distinctive license plate. I put that in. It was at 2 weeks into it. I was actually misspelling it throughout the whole time before that. But at the 2 weeks, it picked off two tolls that were on that day that we traveled, and it picked up two tolls that were 4 months, 5 months prior. And then I paid those like I did. And then I got a bill for like 10 other tolls that day. On the 14th of September, which
you got
made
their
no
attention,
which made no fucking sense because I should have, when I searched for the license plate, it should have brought up all the totals for that day, and it didn't. Yeah. And that's basically how I got out of. I basically just paid those tolls instead of with the fee. But
yeah, fuck good old Illinois.
And I mean, unfortunately, I can't even say that this is the one state that has two governors in prison because one of them got commuted.
Unrelated to that, did I talk about Frederick the Great on the podcast within the last couple weeks, or was that just to people at work?
Just to people at work, because I would have remembered it because I'm a huge Frederick the Great fan.
Because I was eating some mashed potatoes with my dinner before mm-hmm. I came here, and it made me think of a brilliant example of how amazing Frederick the Great was, which is... His people were dying of malnutrition because, you know, it sucked to be alive back then. You would just die of malnutrition constantly.
Could you explain to the idiots around the table who do not know who Frederick the Great is?
He was a king of Russia.
He wasn't like brother of Alexander?
No. No.
They both had the same surname.
They were just both great.
Yeah.
Andy, you recommended a band to me that had an album entirely about Frederick the Great.
What is the band?
Judicator.
Oh, I don't listen to them.
You just recommend them blindly?
I recommended it. Well, I heard that.
I guess I've recommended movies I haven't seen yet, so it's not too different.
I listened to Judicator because they were actually at an event I was at, and they sounded pretty good. And I'm like, well,
yeah.
I know David likes Judicators, and he likes metal, so...
Oh no, they do concept albums about historical figures, and one of them is about Napoleon, and one of them is about Frederick the Great. And you should listen to it, and you should too. You would like the Frederick the Great album.
His peasants were dying of malnutrition and scurvy and all such a stuff because they were peasants in Eastern Europe, and that wasn't a good thing to be.
But you're a pirate if you have scurvy, though.
Well, yeah,
you're a scurvy dog.
I think pirates have scurvy. Not everyone with scurvy is a pirate. Like it doesn't go both ways.
I'm gonna not eat any kind of citrus at all. Yeah.
College students also get scurvy. Well, and then they download stuff off Napster, so I guess they're pirates. But anyway,
see, you just proved yourself wrong. In
so potatoes were brought back from the New World, and potatoes fucking rule. Like you can live on like nothing but potatoes and air for a shockingly long period of time. They are one of the most nourishing things on the planet.
I'm living proof.
Yes. So potatoes are a magic food.
Yep.
But so he was trying to encourage his peasants to start growing and eating potatoes so they'd stop dying of malnutrition all the time. And they were like, potatoes suck. Because, you know, they didn't have the beauty of a nice, you know, fluffy baked potato with butter or deep fried hash browns or any of that. They were just fucking potatoes. They were bland and terrible and everybody hated them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like suspicious that they came from the devil. Like nobody liked potatoes. So what he did, are you familiar with this story, by the way? Okay, good. I wasn't certain if I had to at all address this to David, but he already knows this shit.
No, you educate
me. So what
he
did is he said, all right, potatoes are the royal vegetable. No one else is allowed to grow potatoes. It's forbidden. You can't have them, dirty peasants. They're only for me. And he set up a giant potato farm with, you know, walls and guards and everything, but he paid his guards to let people rob all the potatoes out of the potato farm because that was the only way through reverse psychology that he could get his peasants to want potatoes is to forbid them. So his guards would walk around like, oh, oh-dee doody doo, I guess I'm going to stand over here and look at the moon for an hour, and then the peasants would sneak past thinking they're all clever and steal a fuckload of potatoes. And that's how he brought potatoes to Prussia, and his people stopped dying of septicemia.
That's fucking amazing.
It's super amazing.
Not the only case like this, and a weird thing in Frederick's life, because he never wanted to be king because he saw what his father did, and his father was a moron. And he absolutely didn't want this, didn't want anything to do with this because his idea of what one did as a king was just, you were just a moron and you're a figurehead and you do stupid shit and try not to get assassinated, because his father, who I've said again is a moron, and one of the things his father spent a lot of money on was he found the tallest soldiers, the tallest people in Prussia, mm-hmm. and hired them and trained them as soldiers and had them specially tailored uniforms, so he had a unit of giants as his personal bodyguard.
Fair.
Wait, people still to this day put potatoes on Frederick the Great's grave.
But so he ran away from home several. He ran away from home several times because he just wanted to be a violinist. And eventually, his father captured him and said, "No, goddamn it, you will be king." Eventually, he became king and was later known as Frederick the Great for saving Prussia repeatedly.
Also, against their will, apparently.
Also, potatoes did really take hold in Germany because now the German word for diner is Kartoffelhaus, which is literally potato house.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The chat says we talked about this previously. I don't remember.
I may have side mentioned it because I was very excited about it because I found it out a couple weeks ago.
Sure.
And then between not being on for a couple weeks here and there, I wasn't certain if it had come up.
I've never heard of that story though, but it is an amazing story where somebody
that
says
he took the effort to have guards that he specifically paid to be incompetent is the best part. Because no one would want to steal them if they were easy to steal. They had to feel like they were getting away with something.
Well, and also because they're forbidden. Everybody wants the forbidden fruit.
Yep.
I mean, that's the forbidden potato.
Yep. The forbidden potato.
I don't know if I spelled it correctly. I'll find out.
Potato, just ask Dan Quayle.
And...
Yeah, throw that E on there, which is...
In fact, that's how I'm going to put it on there.
Good. Not to defend Dan Quayle, but technically the E at the end is an acceptable alternate spelling. It's just antiquated.
Yeah.
It's like old with an E at the end, but I don't want to defend him because he was a miserable pile of shit who ruined our world in a lot of ways, so fuck him.
Generally, most Americans didn't really pay attention to politics.
Yeah.
Even though that was when I was about 18. I don't know if I could have voted yet for Quayle. No, I could not have voted for Quayle. Because Bush was 92?
Yes.
92 to 96?
Yeah.
I was too young.
So I was too young as well
to
be able to vote for him. And at that point, I could care less. About the time I actually started caring is around when Clinton was
you
in.
Couldn't care less.
Yeah.
Ha ha ha! Grammared.
Grammared. In my face.
Any other announcements? You were the thing. You wanted with the grill. Guilds Brills.
Oh, shit. It is. What?
You were at the Guilds Builds.
Yeah, we had a Guild Ball event yesterday, but I'm not going to talk about that, though.
Okay.
Steamforged released a giant announcement about SteamCon.
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 Is it canceled again?
SteamCon 2020, the big announcement that they put out for everybody to read is that they're not having a SteamCon.
I was joking, but I was right.
Again?
Again.
Jesus fuck. What is with them?
I don't know. It's not happening in the UK or the US. And the reason being is that they were not able to find a suitable venue to handle this event. I think the one that handled SteamCon in the UK was like a room with no heat and a broken toilet.
Well, that's no good.
Yeah, I was going to say your basement wasn't available for SteamCon US.
the last time they ran SteamCon in the US though was at the Nashville Opry House, I think. It was like a gigantic it's basically Disneyland for I almost said rednecks. But I just said rednecks. But it's a Disneyland for country music.
I mean, that's Dollywood.
Yeah, Dollywood is the Disneyland. Grand Ole Opry is like a Carnegie Hall for country music.
Yeah, it was an expensive place. I'm sure that they got a bigger deal because they were bringing people into it. But if I was into country music, that would be a destination I would go to. Yeah. I want a metal place that's like that place. I don't think it would last very long because it would just be like half of it would be burning in a heap. But that place was legitimately beautiful. It was actually a really cool event. There's a ton of fucking places you can have an event in the U.S.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much effort was made into finding a suitable place. And there's a ton of conventions that would happily accept them into there. Like they could have had it at the LVO. They could have it at they could have actually had it at Adepticon. Just tie it in there with it.
All day with alcohol is only $2,000 for the Corn Palace in beautiful Mitchell, South Dakota. You get 100 people coming, you charge them like 20 bucks each, you just paid for the corn pallets.
You still have to drive through Dakota. I mean, it's almost as bad as driving.
South Dakota is a beautiful place to drive through. You can stop and see Crazy Horse and Waldrug.
That's two more things that you could see than Illinois.
South Dakota, yeah, you're going to get the corn palace. I mean, look at this.
There's civilization in Illinois.
Yes, yes. That is a statement. there's a lot of different venues. Unfortunately, with the U.S.,
you can have over 3,000 people maximum capacity. So you can charge them $1 a piece and have a grand left over.
I'm not sure SteamCon pulls 1,000 people.
Okay. Does it pull 500 people?
Yeah.
$4 each. You paid for the Corn Palace. Tell me you can't find a suitable venue.
It is something that I think you could go with some effort into and actually finding a decent venue. Like even in Madison, there's the Monona Terrace that's, I don't know how much it costs to rent the place, but ACD does every year for its Games Day event.
I suspect ACD is about two orders of magnitude larger than Steam Forged, if not more.
Yeah, that's probably very true. It's very true, yeah. But, you know...
I will say though that finding a venue, booking a venue, et cetera, a venue is harder than people give it credit for. Like from having had to take part of that, and I was the least active member of the ATC committee in that aspect of the business, mm-hmm. and it was still annoying as fuck. So I understand that, but it's still hilarious that Steamforge can't do that.
Hold on, you were other judge.
Yeah.
I was silent partner because like I didn't do anything. You actually spoke up once in a while for booking the venue. I was just there to,
right? Yeah,
I didn't do nothing.
Yeah,
nothing.
Well, yeah, you were a volunteer at the event, is what you were.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
pretty much. That's how it was this time around though too. But thing is though. The person making all the moves was the one that was directly linked to both events, to Privateer and to Adepticon.
Well, more importantly, it's the person who lived by the hall.
Yeah.
Like, if we were hosting it in Madison as opposed to Milwaukee, I would have done way more than Travis did. Correct. But because it was in Milwaukee, not Madison, Travis had to do all that stuff. Plus, of course, he had all that experience from doing shit like Adepticon. But the fact that he lived within driving distance of the venue... comparatively speaking, definitely took part of the logic of that.
I was talking about for the new home, yeah, for the ATC.
Farmers Guild, see? They could do themed Steam Cons. Every year, the host venue could be related to something. So this year, they could have done the Corn Palace. Mm-hmm. Next year, they could have rented out like an abandoned coal mine.
For the miners, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Then the year after that,
you get Black Lung.
Then you can get a crematorium.
Yeah, you can get a crematorium. Or just,
for the morticians.
Yeah.
You could probably rent out some iron factory for the blacksmiths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boom.
Done.
Done and done. Come on, Steamforge. Give us a call. We're ideas people.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's rumors, and I don't want to be the rumor monger, but there's been rumors that they've been trying to shift gears from Guild Ball to more board game related type things. Sure. Things that they can easily package and not have to.
That's fine. As long as they stop having models with some giant goddamn ankles. Could you just pare down the sides of those ankles on your models, please, Steamforge? It's absurd. These people, they're like Popeye arms, but for their ankles.
I can't hear or see your air quotes. Or your sarcasm at all.
I mean, who knew Rob Liefeld was a miniature modeler?
Oh, my Lord.
That's pretty much it, yeah. But they do have belts. So instead of pouches, they have a lot of belts.
Sure.
It's like... somebody was pointing out that, like, for Skulls Games Workshop 40K models to Steamforged and for Guild Ball models to belts. Like, they have, like, belts
sure.
everywhere.
It's you can play over-under before you start counting, like, how many belts are going to be on this model.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Which, in the conversation about Skulls in Games Workshop, I was able to show somebody the best train feature ever made.
Is that the skull made out of skulls?
The skull made out of skulls.
The best one is like the official 6x4 table that was made up of plastic parts, and like two of them had just like cracks in the ground where there are just skulls under it. And I said, "Ah, we're fighting for the skull mines here."
Well, you know, that's where people get all their skills. Fucking thatched roof cottages. Like, if you buy a random farmer hut from GW, it has 100 skulls on it. It's like, what is happening? Yeah, the skulls.
Was that actually made by GW?
I don't think so.
No, but it was in the terrain room at Pegasus for a long time.
No,
or was it at the Des Moines place?
Des Moines.
Yeah.
It was over at Man. Yeah. They even had a base for it, too.
Yeah.
The skull of skulls.
Oh, Lord. Another announcements? I don't think there's another announcements. Is anything happening in March before Adepticon?
I thought there was a... Is there a War Machine event on the 18th?
I think there's a tournament. There's at least one tournament around here, but I don't recall exactly.
Yeah, I need to get back into the habit of actually running War Machine events.
Yeah.
I at least to give Rick a break.
Yeah, we were building up the community. The last two had have filled up 16 players on just a random Saturday event.
Nice. All right. Maybe I'll try to make a comeback.
This old doom and gloom about the game dying. Of course, we're also a weird meta.
Speaking of which, fucking Warcaster and all people farting all out of their heads about it. Why do you have to have a Kickstarter? Because it's a lot of fucking money to start up a product line.
Yeah. So let me just say to anyone listening that if there is for any future miniatures games, unless they come out of Games Workshop or Fantasy Flight, it's going to be a Kickstarter.
Yeah. Privateer Press, even when doing well, you know, whether or not you're going to start the argument about they're dying, in which they've been dying for like a decade now, and somehow they're still not dead. But
20-year anniversary, yeah, we're still dying.
and nobody except for GW and Fantasy Flight, David said, has the cash capital to invest in a whole new product line. That is fucking expensive. Mm. It is what it is. It's not like they're greedy. Like, I understand the people who get mad at, there are some companies who abuse Kickstarter and use it when they don't need to use it.
Cool Mini or not,
for example.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, I had something happening.
But, yeah, I can get that. But Privateer Press, even it's doing well for a miniatures company, and they're still not going to have that pure cash on hand. There's a difference between assets and commodities that way versus just here's a fuckload of money to give to some mold makers in China. That's not how it works.
And that's kind of one of the reasonings behind them actually even setting up the Black Industry. What is the
Black Anchor Heavy Industry?
Black Anchor.
Bahia.
Yeah, them setting up Black Anchor is really just to get an idea of what people want, because creating all those colossals, all those huge models, and then just shipping them off to stores to never sell, that's bad investment, because you spent all the money paying the people to create the molds, to create and run the models through those molds, and then ship them out.
It was bad for the stores, too, because the stores, if a store doesn't know if they're going to sell three or four of a solo, and they buy four and three sell, and the other one just sits on the shelf for a year, oh, well. Yeah. Right, they made their money back on the three they sold. That one will sit there for a while. Someone will buy it eventually, whatever. But if they get two Drocodiles and zero sell, that's a fuckload of shelf space that they're eating up with those giant boxes.
Fuckload of shelf space and an expensive model. It's $120 or $120 each.
Mm-hmm. But even that aside, money's money, but shelf space is also money. Yeah. You can shove an extra solo on a hook with 10 other models, but that Drocodile or that, not Blizzard King, but what's the fucking...
Mountain King?
Glacier King.
Yeah, Blizzard those things, whatever. Those take up a goddamn shelf on their own. You got limited space. Yep.
So somebody in chat asked, what is Warcaster? Warcaster is the upcoming...
it's Infinity. They're basically Tau.
it is simultaneously Infinity and Tau.
Anything
and
that's
Firefly.
Khaki is Tau.
Yeah.
I wear a trench coat and got a gun.
If it's a khaki-colored robot, it's Tau.
I will say that the Warjack has some serious Tau energy there, and I am mildly confused why they painted it khaki, because that just exemplifies the Tau energy of the model. But that said, Tau is also horribly derivative of just generic mecha. Yeah. And
Tau did not invent khaki colored mecha.
If I remember correctly, Tau came out soon after a certain Star Wars IP and restarted doing prequels.
Yeah.
Was that around the time when Tau came out?
I'm just thinking about like freaking Robotech and stuff like that. Like plenty of that shit was khaki colored.
But Warcaster is the new Privateer Press game. It's supposedly being released in June of this year. There will be a Kickstarter starting relatively soon.
Is it June already? I thought it was going to be around. Oh no, it's coming out at Lock and Load. Never mind. I forgot it. Yeah.
Yeah, the goal is to have people have time to paint models before Lock and Load. Mm-hmm. They're expecting the deliveries for the Kickstarter to be in June. The Kickstarter will be released soon with no specific date. It is a science fiction game that is continuity of the Iron Kingdom story, but it is in a different galaxy. It is people escape the Iron Kingdoms because of the Infernals catastrophe through the help of Cyrus.
If I remember correctly, isn't it 5,000 years past the times of Iron Kingdoms? If I remember correctly, from the original.
Yeah, so it's like during this-ish timeline that War Machine takes place, there's the Infernal invasion. The cult of Cyrus helps humans escape and colonize another galaxy, mm-hmm. and then thousands of years later, Warcaster takes place there.
So this is basically literally the story of Moana.
Sure.
Okay.
Because all the Iron Kingdoms people are island. They travel to island to island. Mm-hmm. And you know something bad is chasing them throughout all this time.
Jim,
it is
might
not
give a shit.
Jim, no, it is not Wormahorde's 30K. It's Wormahorde's 5K.
Stop using that
word.
What
year is it now?
Stop using it.
It's like 800.
Warcast, so it's Wormahorde's 6K.
It's not. Stop using those words.
You don't mind Wormahorde's. You're fine with Portmandu's.
I hate Wormahorde's.
Okay, we'll call it Whore Machine instead.
No. I'm going to stick with Wormahorde's because Andy taunts Travis with Portmandu's all the time, so Andy deserves to have one thrown back in his face. Yeah.
Travis hates it too.
Yeah.
But it can't. It can't have Wormahorde's. It's only War Machine.
Whore Machine.
Because it's called Warcaster. There's no Warlocks.
There could still listen. The game's called Warcaster.
Was it 2 or 3 years of War Machine? Then Hordes came around. In 2 years, 2 or 3 years of Warcaster, then we'll have Warlock.
Sure.
What was I going to look up?
I don't know.
But so basically what we know about the game is the expectation is it'll be 20 to 30 models, slightly smaller scale in models than War Machine, plays on the same size table, 4 foot by 4 foot. It uses custom six-sided dice. It has not been confirmed if they're the same dice as Monpok and Riot Quest yet. And the way the game works is there is a lot of reserve and bringing models back in. So it is built around killing stuff is not the be-all and end-all of it, because mm-hmm. after stuff is dead, you can spend resources to redeploy stuff.
And of note, unless I have been misinformed, because I haven't watched all the videos, I mostly am getting this stuff secondhand, there are no Warcasters in Warcaster because you are the Warcaster.
Yeah, you are.
It's like being a Planeswalker in Magic the Gathering.
Yes.
You are that wizard.
You are the Warcaster controlling things.
So caster kill is not technically a game end mechanic.
It will definitely be a game end mechanic.
Yeah, it is not approved within the rules subset of the game, but it is a meta game where you can end a game of Warcaster through caster kill.
It's a guy walking up to the table with his hands behind his back, and he's just covered in blood. He's like, I would like to report a game.
I won by scenario.
But yeah, the game
scenario is... and here is my scenario, and it's just a knife.
Yes, Magic the Gathering now has Planeswalkers as cards, but originally it didn't. And you still are the main Planeswalker, and those are just lesser Planeswalkers in your employ. But yeah.
And it is built around, I mean, the game is supposed to be very objective based, that it is you win the games by scoring scenario points. And the way your warcaster is represented in the game is by a deck of cards, which are basically, they're called ciphers, and they are effectively spells. And it is unknown what the hand size is or how many cards are in your deck, but the choice of your cards is how you
it's Wormahorde's the Gathering is what it is.
How you identify your caster.
Wormahorde's the Gathering.
I'm wondering if they have
Magic the Hordes Machine.
If they would steal it, the idea of it, but there was Therium, I think it was, that had like a small squad based battle mm-hmm. mechanic system that also had shifting terrain,
mm-hmm.
which was a really, really cool ability. I'm curious if they would have something similar to that, maybe in this.
Yeah, but what we know is there are squads, which the squads are three models, solos and jacks. We have seen light war jacks, which assumes there are heavy war jacks, and they have mentioned that there are vehicles, but we haven't seen those. And there are portals that you can move around and bring models in. So, and we are supposed to see video of the game being played on Tuesday. So,
excited. This Tuesday already?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, maybe I'll log into my phone and watch. I assume it'll stream on the Facebooks.
Book faces. Yep.
But yes, there's a lot of doom and gloom on the Facebooks about that it being on Kickstarter. And as I said, anything like this in the future is going to be Kickstarter unless something replaces Kickstarter. The old, the way gaming works now, there is no reason not to use something like this as a far out pre-order, as a global pre-order system like that to make sure that you can manage your initial production run.
Yeah, because you don't want to over or underproduce. Yeah. Both of those are disastrous because you don't have the extra money to just make twice as much as you need. And on the other hand, you don't want to not make enough and kill desire for your game by undersupplying it.
Yep. So
I mean, we've seen that before in a lot of games. I mean, I think it hurt Mompoc in our area for a little bit there when you couldn't get models for a while. Yeah. Yeah,
I think people are kind of hesitant to some extent with Privateer Press and Kickstarters because not all of their past Kickstarters have gone entirely well. But you know, they didn't make the video game. It's not their fault. It sucks.
Oh yeah, I mean they've delivered on everything. I mean that's
they've delivered on everything. Yes, this. But
but yeah, White Moon did
White Moon Dream. Yeah,
it looks pretty. We talked about this last week. It looks neat. It could have not been
Widower's Woods was a thing. I don't even remember what that was.
It was an add-on, basically a Hordes version of Undercity.
Hey, remember Undercity? Yeah. I don't.
Yep.
Oh, Undercity.
That's a really cool idea. I would love to try to make that into an actual dungeon crawl game instead of I don't like board games that are really kind of scenario based unless they really have like a ridiculously thick book of scenarios in that. They should always, if you have a scenario based board game, it should have something that can be just a normal play as well.
Sure, like a random generated one or just the ability to design your own scenarios.
Yep.
I mean, it's why everybody hates HeroQuest. Because it only has like 10 scenarios. It's a garbage game for garbage people.
Yeah. HeroQuest.
That's why not is true. My mind. HeroQuest is great.
Mm-hmm.
Why is my mind?
What?
Why is your mind?
What is your mind?
Why is your mind?
Who is your mind?
Why is Gamora? HeroQuest? Are you trying to remember HeroQuest?
Oh shit. Yeah, I seriously could not think of what HeroQuest was.
Broad Sode.
Oh, yeah.
Broad Sode, Andy.
Oh. It's Warhammer Quest is better anyway.
Well, I mean, Quest is more chaotic.
But like a game like Shadows of Brimstone that I have a ton of stuff on. It has a rule book in there. It has special scenarios that you could do in the game, and then it just has just a casual gameplay, and that just opens up the life for that. I mean, I think Shadows of Brimstone came out around or before the time of Undercity, and we have three people here who don't really know that much about Undercity. And
I played it. I didn't think it was very good, honestly.
I never played it.
I thought it was fine. Mm-hmm. But my major problem with it is the only expansion of it really was a couple of No Quarter articles. It had four new characters in it. So your reward of expansion for Undercity was four new characters that you could play the exact same scenarios that you played before already. And once you play the scenario and you beat it, there's really no reason to go back unless you think
especially
you could do
it
better.
Set in stone. Yeah. You know, something like Mansions of Madness that has the app. So there's only like a dozen scenarios, but each one's going to randomly generate the specific map, the specific, you know, where the clues are. Mm-hmm. So even if you know, oh, this is the one where we go through the mansion and we have to find the key and then we're going to kill a big boss, you still don't know how the mansion layout's going to be. You don't know where the key is. You know, it can change every time. But that does really require that app functionality. Or maybe you can do it with a deck, but a deck's going to be more like random entirely, which is fine, but it's not going to be able to... It's going to be hard to make a scripted scenario with a random setup from like a deck.
Yeah. And honestly, that's what I said before. If I were designing a tabletop miniatures game right now, I would have it be tightly integrated with an app. Mm-hmm. And the point of the app is to set up the terrain and objectives on the table.
Man, maybe it's because I'm just becoming a grizzled old man and don't give a shit anymore, or my taste is changing, or people are assholes in general, and I just notice these ones. But I recently backed...
All of the above?
Yeah. I recently backed... so the Restoration Games, who are the people who did the Fireball Island reprint last year, they did Dark Tower, like 1986, you know, with the frickin' tower.
Yeah.
So they just finished a Kickstarter. It's currently in. You can still buy in with the late pledge, but a return to Dark Tower. Mm-hmm. And it's got the giant tower. It was co-op as opposed to competitive, although they did eventually add a competitive mode. But originally it was co-op, and it was app-based as well. Mm-hmm. And people were shitting themselves over both the co-op and the app-based thing. And I just don't get it, because now I've reached the age where I'd much rather play co-op games with people. Mm-hmm. I have way more fun playing cooperative board games than competitive board games. Mm-hmm. And then the apps are just, people are like, how are you going to, whatever. You have a fucking phone.
Yeah.
Like, why would you want them to spend the time and money and resources and then pass that expense on to you to put a shitty phone into their tower when you already have a fucking phone in your pants?
Oh, so people want the tower to be basically under control like it was.
Like it was in the original one.
Sure.
Yeah. And it's like you have a goddamn supercomputer in your pants. Mm-hmm. The app is free. They have put the source code for the app in escrow with somebody. So if they ever go bankrupt or cease to exist, this person will release the source code to the internet so that everyone can upkeep the app as a fan-made thing too.
What does escrow mean?
Like, it's usually used in payment. It's like a middleman.
Sure.
So, like,
sure.
If I was trying to buy a car from David and we didn't trust each other, he'd give you the car, and then I'd give you the money, then you'd give me the car, then you'd give him the money. Right. I was trying to keep it, you know, I was hiding the truth.
Okay, cool.
But so they already gave the source code to another person, so if they stop upkeeping it, he'll just release it to the internet. Like, there's nothing, support's going to be there. There's no need for it to be in the fucking tower, but people still bitch and moan about it, and I don't get it. Because games that don't even have apps, I will download a goddamn app for that game to make my life easier, like Gloomhaven. You fucking with those damn monster cards? Eat my ass. There's an app, and it's 1,000 times easier.
No, I didn't realize that. I'll have to pick that up for...
Oh, yeah. You just push a button, the monsters do their shit. It's great.
But I mean, that was especially because, to my mind, at least, one of the things that I like about miniatures games over the typical board game and stuff is having to maneuver armies around terrain and take advantage of that. And unfortunately, in a lot of situations, you get tables that are put together and have boring terrain or boring layout. And so if I were designing a miniatures game today, it would be built around the core box that had a bunch of terrain features and objectives and an app where you push a button and says, okay, this is what your board looks like.
Yeah.
And it's designed, randomized, but balanced out so that it's an interesting game.
Yeah, which I know Andy's pulling up the dead football game has that app.
Yeah.
But
it's actually not theirs.
It's not theirs.
It's somebody else made it. But
it
something
it does
like
the job.
That. Yeah.
But no, that if I were doing a game like that, that would be my core design of it.
I will say, so Geezy was talking to me once upon a time about how he won't play anything with a tape measure anymore. He just can't. Like, so he's pretty much all in on board games, or he'll do stuff like Gautier, where you have like the grid hexes, system, yep, or hexes or whatever. Or I would even go with like Crisis Protocol that has the sticks, because mm-hmm. there's no question when you shove a stick, you bump it against one model. Does it touch the other model? Like, done is done. Tape yep. measures get really finicky. They parallax. You have to hold them above the table. So War Machine, unfortunately, uses sticks. Well, maybe, kind of. Most people don't even... I was going to say tape measures. But yeah. most people don't even use tape measures anymore. You get the stick set mm-hmm. and just use that. But it's so much cleaner. But that's something in any new game that I see made that I would prefer to use measuring sticks or hexes. Yep.
I would say the other thing I would do along those lines, that also anybody that is a prospective game designer, take this idea for free and use it. When you are plotting out the movement of a model... specify it in the rules as a movement distance plus the size of the base. So therefore you can have one set of sticks that the way you move a model is you put a stick down touching the base and then move the base so it's touching the other end of the stick.
Sure, yeah.
yeah.
And
it makes it a lot cleaner for movement as well.
Yeah. And set that up because you can do that in War Machine and when I was playing lists that I had so many models like when I was playing Halley 3 that just had a ton of models that literally moving everything was a difficulty to get through on the clock. I laser cut sticks that were rounded on both ends, so it was guaranteed to be fair as long as any point of the stick was touching. But in War Machine,
you would need four different sizes of those, really.
You would need four different sizes. But if you are doing this, if you are designing a new game, design movement so that the length of the base is rolled into that, so you can have one set of sticks.
I think that's how Marvel does that too.
Yeah. Marvel is just from tip to tip, yeah.
And that's so much cleaner because for Guild Ball it uses sticks a lot. I mean, that's because it's only six models and it makes things great for planning out. But you still have your 6-inch stick over something. Then you have to place your model over the top of that. Then you have to pull the 6-inch stick out, and you still have
because people use sticks a lot. But it is still technically a tape measure game, right? Because it uses inches.
I would say it uses inches, but it's...
I mean, the meta in the community uses sticks a lot. And that's fine, but like in the rules, anything that goes by inches or whatever is something that you could use a tape measure for, and the sticks are just a convenience and a fan-made solution
to make it cleaner.
Yeah.
To make it cleaner. That's
whereas, like the Marvel Crisis Protocol sticks don't even have measurements on them. They just call them length 1, length 2, and length 3.
Yep.
But yeah, that would be the other thing, is that in addition to having the terrain and the app, put the sticks in the starter box as well.
Most games have that.
Speaking of which, I'm still fucking furious about the spray. Fucking A.
Yeah.
You figure you could laser cut something exact.
That's harder than you think.
Yeah. Or you could just really say, I guess this makes no sense. We're changing it. As opposed to saying, this was always our intention. You lying sacks. I love you guys, but that's the worst fucking thing.
Well, that's the business stance they've taken ever since Mark III was released. When a model would knock something down, they are no longer engaging it now. That's how we meant it to happen. And then 3 months later, oh, look, there's an errata. Oh, there's... you're now engaging knockdown models.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You're not engaging them, but they're still in your melee range, right? It was correct. That distinction that was lost. And it's like, oh, so I can't Dark Shroud knockdown models? Nope. Always our intention. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit. Just admit, like, oh, yeah, that is weird. Our bad. We'll fix it.
Yeah. I think the backlash for... whoever advised them that just saying that that's how we intended it, I don't think they really measured the backlash that would have once they make the fix for it, rather than just owning up to it and saying, crap, that made it through the system. This is actually how it's meant to be.
Yeah.
And then I think people would have forgotten about it immediately. They'd be like, oh, shit, they released a book that, you know, that had a mistake in it. As compared to they try to pass off that shit as rules.
Yeah. Yep.
Just, I mean, people, most people can forgive and move on.
Have you met us?
I guess we're still groaning about Mark III release. Not really groaning about it, though. But Widower's Wood is, you know, that's the Hordes one somebody mentioned.
But then speaking of Warcaster and the alternate timeline, because I believe the Hanghold Scroll is that alternate timeline, not the War Machine timeline. But if you're not reading the Twitter...
Hengehold Scroll.
Twitter. It's technically the Hermit of Hengehold, like recounting that fall of the Iron Kingdoms to the Infernals or whatever.
I'm not sure what the Hengehold Scrolls will move into it, but it's been hinted that Warcaster is on the same timeline as Riot Quest, it's what happens after everything goes to hell.
But yeah, if you're not reading those, you should be. They're interesting. They got little snippets, little 6 or 7 tweet long focuses from one character's point of view.
And they're killing off all of the Mercasters.
They're killing off a significant number of Mercasters. It was last week was real bloody. There was like a 7 tweet series for Mad Hammer that just reminded me that Mad Hammer is a beautiful boy and I love him with all my heart. He literally like was shooting grenades and then he was whispering to the rockets, "I love you," as they're going out of his gun to just blow people up. He's just such a happy. He just loves exploding things. But so he had that, and then there was a McBain one where McBain mentioned seeing the dwarf take a hit and go down, which implies that he's dead. So Mad Hammer's probably dead.
No.
Then McBain like is doing a final stand where he's chopping some people, and then an infernal bad guy finds a blood-soaked cigar, and he's like, "This is my cigar now." And so McBain's probably dead because that was his cigar. And then Damiano is definitely dead because they kill him off like on camera, and they take the time of saying that it was neither fast nor noble. And it's like, that's really mean. Like, you had to also rub in the fact that it was a slow, terrible, screaming, pants-shitting death. That's unfortunate. So those three are not good. And the most recent one, however, it looks like one of the Infernal Masters might have died because Vlad stabbed him right through the spine. So fingers crossed. But yeah, it's interesting. It's doing that kind of jump around thing where you'll see stuff from Matt Hammer's point of view, and then you'll have a little thing from Nemo, and then it's a little thing from Aurora, and then it jumps over to Orin Midwinter from the Infernal side of things, and it's neat to see all these different perspectives.
Do you know if they're actually going to maybe publish this as like a one large story?
I mean, you can always just go to the Hermit's Twitter and just read through them, because they're just... Their Twitter feed is in order.
I hate Twitter.
I do too. I do too. But if you ignore... The issue with Twitter is that it's hard to follow like responses. Like, that's just a disaster. But I don't give a fuck about anybody's responses to this, because it's just somebody going, "No, I like that guy." Or, "Oh, no," with a gif. And I don't fucking care. But if you just want to read the story, it's just their main feed, and you would just have to read it in reverse chronological order.
I used to be annoyed that Twitter was really bad about people trying to have conversations, and then I looked at what a typical Twitter conversation looks like and stopped giving a fuck. And it's like, I'm clicking on this person's name, I just want to see shit they wrote.
Yeah,
and people that respond to them can die in a fire. Fuck off. I'm just reading this guy. Okay, this is good. Yes,
if every single podcast that I listen to, or just any kind of show that has anything that has interaction with Twitter, there's nothing good. Just nothing good. Basically, it's everybody on there is just trash.
Yeah.
And yeah, I hear about it as just being the worst. I mean, like, Facebook is whatever. You can manage kind of your own environment in Facebook land, but Twitter is just garbage.
Yes. Twitter is one of the worst things to happen to the human race. It is irredeemable cesspool. But that's where you can read these little stories, and if you like the little stories, they're decent little stories.
Mm. I'm happy because one of the people I know that worked at Privateer Press for a while as one of their writers, Matt Getz, is participating in that too. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome.
Actually, a friend of mine was an engineer at Twitter for a long time, and he came to the similar conclusion. So he quit just because he didn't want to work on something that was having such a horrible effect on human civilization.
It's just the goddamn worst.
All right.
Yup.
So speaking of Twitter, so we should check out.
Do we have tweet mails?
We got some. I saw that we had some on Facebooks.
Oh boy.
224 times.
What?
God damn it.
What?
What?
That's 224 times is how many times I ran the fucking WoW Valentine's Day events just to get the goddamn love rocket.
You're just hitting that little lever, just trying to get your rat treat.
Yeah. Give me my fucking grape.
Yeah, just hit that lever in your Skinner box, buddy.
It's not even a grape. It's if you've ever seen them, it's just a little pellet.
No.
I mean, it's slightly sweetened, so the rats eat more of them. But
I've seen the video of the scientist giving one monkey a grape and the other one, what did he give him?
A cucumber. You don't even get a cucumber. You did your 224 runs and you got jack shit.
It's a little pellet. They like look like they are made out of sawdust and smell vaguely like sawdust. I grew up with my father working in a research lab and my mother too, for that matter. So yeah, I am familiar with what rat pellets are.
All right, so we're switching over to the Zappity Grumbles. If you have any in chat and you want to post them up now. One of the chat already said it. So.
Zappity Grumble.
All right, I'm going with this one first. This is from Sean. Asks, if you could only drink vodka or whiskey for the rest of your life, which one would you choose and why?
Whiskey and there's no goddamn choice because whiskey actually tastes like something other than alcoholism.
The vodka is good. I can mix it with fucking everything.
Like literally any liquid mixed with vodka, you have a palatable drink, right? Like I can do lemonade, I can do Sprite, I can do Coke, I can do anything.
I mean, if we're talking about mixing, sure, I can see that.
And that's the thing, is like okay. I would rather drink whiskey by itself.
Yes.
But vodka, I know that no matter what mood I'm in, I can pour it and something else in a glass and it's gonna be okay.
Yeah. It was like, I got some leftover orange juice. There we go. I have a screwdriver.
Yeah.
I got some leftover tomato juice. I guess I have a whatever they call it.
Is that a Bloody Mary?
Bloody Mary, yes.
But you have to like put spices and bacon. Shit in it and a fucking hamburger on top. God damn, I hate Bloody Marys.
I mean, also I grew up in Kentucky. I have to be biased towards bourbon anyway.
I mean, it's whiskey and bourbon. It's tasty. I like it, but it's... Man, vodka would just be, it's so palatable. You could just put it with anything. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, because the official definition of vodka is that it doesn't have any flavor.
Correct. I will drink like a sorority girl. Like, give me my vodka and Hawaiian punch, and I'm happy.
Vodka Hawaiian punch.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Oh, yeah, it sounds good, buddy. Yeah. You know why? Because Hawaiian punch is delicious and vodka doesn't taste like anything.
Zappity, gravel. If Crippled System could go to the WTC, who would go and how drunk would you get?
Some of us do. That guy does.
I'm going to the ATC.
But you do... Oh, the WTC, not the WITC. Yeah. I was thinking the WITC.
WITC, Andy gets drunk and he makes very, very good judgments.
I will say the accomplishment I am proudest of as a War Machine player is that I have won. I have been undefeated on the winning team of the WITC twice because it is a competitive event and I value consistency. So doing it twice is my accomplishment as a War Machine player.
So you could go to the WTC, just win the ATC.
Yeah. To be completely honest, after I finish my PhD this year and become gainfully employed, one of my goals is to make the WTC team next year.
Yeah.
I would like to be on the WTC. I just don't think they'd have us.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd reach out.
I'd be a mascot.
Yeah. I said I would bring my beer to the event, and then I was turned down.
Yeah. So I mean, in all seriousness, I am going to seriously try to make the team next year because I will have more time and more money to travel to events and build a resume.
Yeah, my try hard days are behind me.
Yeah, we could form the old folks WTC.
No, because I know some of the old folks and I don't want them.
Fair, Zappity. I would
grumble.
I would say though that Crippled System itself Even past members would really enjoy going to WTC. I think it would be something that would be neat and an experience. The big thing is cost, and we're definitely not a high-end War Machine podcast. But we're a gaming podcast. So I think it would be a fun, neat experience, but I don't know if we can actually afford it. So Zappity.
Well, we could do like a GoFundMe, and we could go to the WTC and we can commentate that shit.
I would love to go as a commentator.
Yeah,
we could wander the halls, you know, like Gorilla Reporter style,
mm-hmm.
like Gorilla Reporter, like hooting and eating bananas,
and throwing bananas.
Yeah,
at people?
and trying to break luggage. Apart.
That's going to cost more for the suits.
Yeah.
We're going to have at least a suitcase each for a suit.
I'm guessing David's pretty hairy and might not even need a suit. I don't know what you look like under there, but I'm guessing like Robin Williams thicket over here from David. No? Oh, yeah. Never mind then. I guess we're not hair suit gentlemen. I have four chest hairs. Four of them. I know because Raylene one day went, ooh, there's a fourth one. Because previously I had three chest hairs.
Mine's kind of...
Like my chest is like the top of Homer Simpson's head. There's just the three long hairs.
Yeah,
you're welcome for that image, America.
Sorry for that image, Nathan.
But yeah, we can go and we can be gorilla reporters and just go table to table with our cameras and our microphones and just shitpost all over.
Not shit. Well, I mean, the quality of the posts are shit, but we would be there doing.
But we could have 24-hour coverage. I don't care if they're just doing ship captain crew in the middle of the night.
Just,
one of us would be up. We would do three different shifts.
Yeah.
Three 8-hour shifts. Fuck yeah.
No. We would just have cameras that would be live streaming all the time from our point of view. So you can.
when we're sleeping. All right. We have to be very careful in the bathroom, or we have to be able to turn it off like the cops with their body cams when they're beating people. But
So you could have a shot of just like, you know, just like three dark rooms, and then like one is wandering up to go to the bathroom.
Fuck yeah. Like, we need to go to the WTC with live stream GoPro, 24-hour Twitch streaming for each of us. And I don't care, like, if it's in Amsterdam and we go to the red light district and smoke weed and whatever, that's just what we're filming.
Well, they could put a, like, a little
nope.
thing down.
No.
Like, you were just talking about body cams for cops.
Yeah, but just when I'm peeing, because I don't want everybody to see
if
my shame.
If I'm drunk and sleeping in my car, I can turn off my body cam.
Nope. People will tune in and hear you snoring and see your dashboard.
I was talking about the cop that was drunk in his car before. Yeah.
No, then we can fucking get a recording of you snoring because you snore like a Looney Tunes character.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why.
Well, at him.
When I share rooms with people, I usually try to do Sudafed before I go to sleep to clear up the sinuses to prevent that from happening.
I usually try to offer everybody earplugs.
Everybody snores.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. And we could do this. It can't be that expensive because we don't even need entry fees. We just need three plane tickets and three GoPros.
GoPros are not that expensive.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, the plane tickets is like $1,500.
Okay.
Okay.
$5,000 for there. We get 100 people to give us $50. Boom. I don't know how
Sign
you.
Me up.
I don't know. We have to hook up with the Wi-Fi for the Twitch streaming.
One of the stretch goals or rewards for supporting us. You can have dinner with us.
One of the stretch goals.
You'll
is
be on
us,
the stream.
No. One of the stretch goals is getting us back.
Oh, that is a valid point. or us not coming back.
Yeah. I don't know if I can afford that this year because I'm planning on going to Lock and Load this year.
Yeah. But maybe next year. We you set aside like, you know, $20 a week.
We could save money for it. But the thing is, though, all three of us have got significant others that would probably want to go too.
Nah.
No?
Yeah. Well, maybe. It depends on where it is. I don't think Cassie would want to go if it is in Amsterdam because we went there and it was boring.
I could just tell Leslie we're with the guys.
The Van Gogh Museum was great.
The literally 20,000 people in line, we looked at it and it's like, no.
Oh, when I went there, we just went in.
Oh, it was.
We must have been the off season.
It must have been. I mean, we went in June for our honeymoon. But if you remember that big plaza out in front of the Van Gogh Museum, when we were about to go there, the entire plaza was packed with people
also,
trying to get in.
Fuck you, Europe! It's Van Gogh, okay? Not Van Gogh.
Oh, it's well, it's in France, right? So it's got to be pronounced weird.
It's not in France.
Oh,
I have had
remember
Dutch
how we
friends
were talking
tell
about Amsterdam.
That, I have had oh. Dutch friends tell me that the Dutch have no idea how to pronounce a G.
Van Gogh.
Van Gogh. Van Gogh.
Are you talking about Gallant?
Tortilla. Tortilla.
So out of your story about the Henschel scrolls, it makes me really, really sad for Rosinante.
Yeah.
Because
he was there, too.
But the thing is, though, well, would Rosinante know?
If he survives and Damiano has offspring, Rosinante would just think that that was Damiano, because that's the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah. That's really...
Yeah, I was like, yeah, this is gory. And it's like it was neither quick nor glorious, and I'm like, Jesus.
And this is a timeline that's not canon for current War Machine. Or this is canon for basically this is canon for War Machine. We're just getting to Riot Quest time.
Current War Machine isn't. I think this is the near future. So hypothetically, it could be the timeline we're in. Hypothetically, it could not be the timeline we're in.
This sounds like it is, because apparently the split between whether it goes to Riot Quest or not is after the events in the scroll. I think
maybe. Yeah. So I'm not certain how canonical it is.
Hmm.
But hopefully, my boy Mad Hammer's still alive and just under some corpses.
Well. He was immune to blast damage previously.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think a whole bunch of horrors ripping your face off is technically blast damage.
Well, you can just put the helmet on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I believe
in
him.
Toilet.
Yeah. No, he isn't the toilet.
No.
Fucking Darius is the toilet. Yeah. He's the tidy bowl, man.
Yeah.
The tank and the lid and everything. That was absurd. What are we even talking about, Zappity?
Grumble. Can we assume Warcaster is called... Can we assume Warcaster is called because all warlocks are dead?
That was your assumption.
Well, yeah. Well, no. I mean, it's 5,000 years in the future. You got to get out of the primitive age eventually.
I mean, I think they'll eventually release an organic faction that they
just put them on their own planet.
Yeah, or maybe it's just none of the beasts got onto the ships.
Can you imagine trying to take Mulg away from the mountains?
Yeah. he's a service dire troll. I need him because I get nervous in flight.
He's just eating.
He's got the little vest on. Do not pet me. I'm a service dire troll.
A service dire troll with fucking floaties on his arms for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. There's plenty of warlocks. They just got no beasts to work off of because none of them were allowed on the ships.
Yeah, that's why you don't form Devastator inside of Astrotrain. Poor Astrotrain, though. Again, somebody formed Devastator inside of him, and then both Rumble and Frenzy beat the shit out of him inside to knock Devastator apart.
Just like indigestion. Astrotrain just like, whoa, what did I eat?
I don't think he... Yeah, that's way too big for him.
Well, you know. You'd be amazed what the body can stretch to accommodate.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Is exactly what Clancy Brown said to me.
I'm sure that Privateer will mention something about warlocks in or hordes in Warcaster. Maybe we'll probably hear something about it.
I mean, I as I understand the way the game goes, I'm not sure how much it will really as the way the game works. I'm not sure it would really matter because it seems like you could just have an organic faction with just different cards available.
Well, there are jacks in the game, so there has to be some kind of a mechanic there. I'm not sure how jacks work with focus, if it's a commodity they generate or if cards give it to them. Like, we'll have to see more details on that.
Yeah,
but
it's called,
that would be the restriction.
Yeah, it's called Arc, and apparently you can put it on anything.
Huh.
So.
Mrah.
Zavity.
Rumble.
Sean is asking, how is Nathan One Punch Man workout routine going?
It's all right. I'm at 50%. I did miss a day each of the last 2 weeks. I missed this past Friday because there was a work outing. I didn't get home till after midnight. And then the week before that, there was Valentine's Day. And so I missed that one as well. But in general, I'm up to 50%. It's going all right. I'm still fat. I did cut out soda, though. Haven't drunk soda in like 2.5 weeks.
Speaking of soda, I got rid of that mango Pepsi finally.
Okay.
I gave it to 3 coworkers. They all liked it. I don't know what's wrong.
It was all right.
Maybe they're, are they Cylons?
You liked it.
I thought it was okay. I thought it was too sweet. I didn't think it was
horrible. Well, sure, but you didn't hate it like he did.
No, I didn't hate it. I couldn't imagine drinking more than like half of a can at a time, though.
Sure.
It looks like that. People actually want us to go to WTC and act like drunken fools.
Well, set up maybe 2021 we'll be able to go.
Could possibly do it for this year. I mean, if we get the...
When is it?
Probably October, November.
Oh, it's that late?
Yeah.
Set up the GoFundMe. I mean, I will get side eye from the wife, but if I say okay, and it's like, so if people from the internet buy me a ticket to Europe, can I go for a few days?
Where are they this year?
Nah, I don't know.
I was thinking, was it going to be in Ireland? Or this was Belgium. This was the last year.
Is it Belgium
again?
This
is the last year it's in Belgium.
Okay. I was thinking Belgium, but then I knew it had been in Belgium, and I wasn't sure how long they stuck with places.
And to answer the question, we're answering going back to that question. We would probably be very drunk.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Especially if it's in Belgium.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Zabity, you're on the. What is your least favorite song by your favorite band?
Revolution Number 9 by the Beatles. It's an utter travesty that song exists.
Beatles are your favorite band?
Beatles are the best band that's ever existed.
Peter Tork died.
What does that have to do with anything being discussed?
I know.
Are the Monkees your favorite band?
No.
Yeah, I mean, the Beatles are the most influential band of all time. They're an absolute, like, cornerstone of the music industry of the modern era. And Revolution Number 9 is just 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an interminable amount of time of random garbage noises as the penultimate track on the White Album, which is their best album. It's an absurd anchor on a masterpiece pinnacle achievement.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I can compete with that.
That or Race Car Yaya's by Cake.
I could talk about the band I don't like, but it's one of my favorite songs.
So it's the reverse of the question?
Yeah.
Which is also a decent question.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is it? Oh my fucking god! Chibi all over again. What was the Karchu? The Chibi Karchev when you couldn't remember what he was called?
Yeah, yeah.
What's your favorite song by your bad band, Andy?
It's RPM. The song is called RPM. I cannot think of the. It's by a band that you wouldn't expect, but it's just a really fucking a. God damn it. I've put it on the spot.
David, what's your answer?
I'm trying to figure it out. My favorite, by Spotify volume, my favorite artist is Mark Knopfler.
Okay.
Formerly of Dire Straits, but I love his solo stuff more. I'm trying to think of what is my least favorite song of his in his solo career. And I'm having trouble pulling it off.
All right, fast it back to me. I'm ready.
Okay, yeah.
All right.
To me, it's Sugar Ray.
I just want to fly, guys.
Yep. Out of all the bands out there, they have a song called RPM. That's a fucking killer, awesome song. The rest of their songs are the worst. I cannot stand any of the songs by Sugar Ray at all.
Fair. David,
do you know RPM?
Okay, I'll go ahead and say Vic and Ray from Mark Knopfler off of Golden Heart, which is otherwise a good album, but that song is terrible.
Hooray! We did it.
Sorry, this is a terrible answer because I'm like the only person that absolutely loves Mark Knopfler. But God, go and I'll feed that into some of our recommendations.
Other people like Mark Knopfler.
Do you like Mark Knopfler?
I love Dire Straits.
Huh? I mean, the solo stuff's probably good too. Solo stuff's even better, I think. But
did Dire Straits ever sue him and he had to play his own music to prove that he was himself, like what's his face from CCR?
No, but he was basically, well, I mean, it was the same thing that Fogerty was CCR.
Yeah.
But.
Remember that when CCR sued Fogerty?
Not CCR sued him. The company that owned the rights to CCR music. Yeah.
They're like, your music sounds too much like you. like what?
Yeah.
You sound too much like yourself. We're suing you. Stop sounding like you.
So, yeah, that was actually my last round opponent yesterday.
From Mark Knopfler?
No, David
Dan Fogerty?
David Mullen is the one that asked the question, so I apologize for destroying your question and then not really remembering what I was going to talk about in the first place. I had a he was beating me pretty bad, and I had a ridiculous end zone play to win the game after he failed a tap in kick. A tap in basically means he needs a three or better, and he had three dice. He had to get 1 3 or better on there to win the game.
That's pretty high odds of doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he failed it.
Wah, wah.
Just rolled ones and twos, and then ball stuck there. I kicked it to a different character, and she ran all the way up the field and scored.
Yeah.
And yes, I will be happy to have another rematch again. So then Zabity Grumble. And Brian Sin asks, which Infinity faction is your favorite? And you can't say Warcaster because it's not Infinity.
I don't know what factions there are in Infinity.
Yeah, there's...
I'm going to say, and I may be remembering the wrong faction name, but Ariadna, because I think that's the one that has werewolves in kilts. Because, I mean, honestly, werewolves in kilts is enough. I've never actually played the game, but I'm going to go with the faction that has werewolves in kilts.
Sure. There's a kind of like a junk faction.
Yeah, Ariadna, werewolves, Russians, Lost Colony, Drunk Scotsmen, and Murica. Ariadna, the Lost Colony, is described as Russians, werewolves, the French, Drunk Scotsmen, and Murica. That's the entirety of the description on this.
French Scotsmen?
Drunk Scotsmen.
French, comma, Drunk Scotsmen, comma, and Murica. Panoceana is the hyperpower, leadership, and technology.
Yep.
Yujing, the Asian power, modernity? Modernity, control and tradition, Hakislam, wisdom and bravery, and Islamic ray guns, and Ariadna, Russians, werewolves, the French, drunk Scotsmen, and America.
It's
a wide left turn compared to the other descriptions.
I think the second one that you mentioned, or the third one you mentioned, I think I like.
The Hakislam. Islamic laser guns?
Yeah.
Islamic laser guns seem like a thing.
I think, if I remember correctly, the look of the models is basically what made me like them. The game looks great. I hate D20s. I cannot stand D20s. I don't want things to be done on a D20.
They just never stop rolling.
It's just it's too big of a range.
Well, I mean, it depends.
I guess I never really paid attention. I just saw a lot of D20s.
The point is, like, if something's a failure on 1 through 10 and success on 11 through 20, it's exactly the same as a success on 1 through 3 and failure. You know what I mean? Like, 50-50 is 50-50. Yeah. You can get granularity where you can go down to a 5% with a D20 versus a, 13 and a third or whatever, 16.6 on a D6.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, my biggest complaint with D20s is just that physically, if you are rolling multiple ones, they're more annoying to deal with because the dice roll a lot more than the other standard sizes.
Really, just roll two D10s and add them together.
That's
how it works.
That's not how it...
Because then that's up to 20.
You can't get one.
It's up to 20.
You can't get one.
You can get up to 20.
Yeah.
20.
That's not how math
works.
Math works. You roll 2d10s and it's the same as 20. Because 10 plus 10 is 20. So there's 20 sides. How many sides are on 2d10s? 20. QED.
My phone just broke. Zappity.
Grumble.
Will Privateer Press kickstart your interest in Warcaster Neo Mechanica? I wish it would just call it Warcaster, because Neo Mechanica...
It's just Warcaster.
It doesn't need to have the tagline on there to... What's the buzzword today?
I'm interested enough. I'll take a look at the Kickstarter. I'll see how things are.
Some
people are mad that there's only two factions, but apparently there's going to be at least three, according to the Kickstarter.
At least three on the Kickstarter.
They've only shown two.
Yeah, they've only shown two so far. I mean, I reserve right to look at the video of gameplay Tuesday and say, eh. But currently I'm hyped.
War Machine only launched with four factions. Yeah. Like, it doesn't have to start with 20 factions.
It launched with four factions, and they were, like, tiny.
Yeah.
I mean, it was literally like the Butcher and two Warjacks, you know.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
No, I am intrigued enough. We'll see. Zappity.
Grumble. Which is your favorite reimagining of a fantasy or such race or class? Or sci-fi race or class?
What is your favorite reimagining of a fantasy or sci-fi race or class? I actually do like, not to be a PP fanboy, but I do like how not Tolkien elves the fucking Retribution of Syrah is.
Iosins are.
Yeah. Like, they're very much not Legolas. And, like, in everything else ever, all the elves are just goddamn Legolas.
Yeah.
And so I like that that was done differently in this.
Yeah, that was an I'll go completely off the reservation here and say, instead of my favorite reimagining of a fantasy racer class, I'll just pick Talos Lanta as a whole, because one of the things in Talos Lanta is there are no humans, no dwarves, and no elves. It's just every race is unique.
Well, and then the reverse, of course, that I've talked about before, which would be my favorite sci-fi reimagining of an actual race or class, is the humans in the Damn trilogy is hilarious. To have us just be the bloodthirsty monsters that other races tell their children about to keep them in line, because, you know, we kill for fun and we sew parts of our corpses into each other to stay stronger. Like, that's horrible.
It's Borgish.
Yeah, like, we really are. Like, when you think about what we do, we are monsters. And so it's fun to see that. Mm-hmm. Cranked to 11 for hyperbolic purposes.
I'm going to change my answer because I have a good answer for it, but I'm going to change it.
Yeah, we don't want a good answer.
Yeah, so I'm going to go, because it's actually part of my recommendation. So the one that I like a lot that actually is entertaining is, I love 40K orcs.
Yeah,
they still technically have the pod people version of the Tolkien orcs is
Tolkien orcs aren't pod people.
They
aren't
pod. Okay.
No. They're
Uruk-hai aren't they?
The Uruk-hai, yeah, but that was very different. But the Tolkien orcs, they breed like any other species. It's just their origin was that they were corrupted elves.
Okay.
So, yeah. But prior to the corruption, they were the elves. Then they corrupted, became orcs. But they breed and raise children just like anything else. You're thinking of the Uruk-hai.
I just like.
And I think that's movie only. I don't think the books go into that whole maggot cocoon thing.
I just like how, you know, fungus orcs, the fact that, you know, that they are magical creatures who do not understand magic at all.
Right.
It's just their force of will makes it work.
Right.
Yeah. I love everything of their buildings, of their machines they make. It just slopped together. Like, my favorite vehicles ever in, like, what is the game that had all the spaceships in it for Games Workshop? The Black Fortress.
That one was
Battlefleet Gothic.
Yes.
Battlefleet Gothic. Yeah.
But the orc ships in the Battlefleet Gothic just look like squares and triangles. Yeah. Just pounded together.
I absolutely love Games Workshop orcs, and especially in 40K, because for a while there was the Feral Orcs, which was it's like you could download the codex for it, and the idea behind Feral Orcs was you basically converted fantasy orcs and put guns on them, because the idea was that orcs are they're fungi, and so you can kill all of the orcs, but they give off spores while they're fighting, and so if you don't properly cleanse the ground, the orc spores will sprout and come up with new orcs. And so feral orcs are orcs that spawn after the battle, but there aren't any orcs around to raise them into orc culture.
Okay.
And so they have less access to technology.
They just have whatever remains on the battlefield.
And the absolute best thing, the absolute best thing is that feral orcs are better shots than normal orcs, because actually being brought into orcish culture makes you a worse shot with your with your guns.
I think just fungi in general aren't explored enough. In fantasy, like, you get, you know, obviously animal based races are extremely common, and then you'll get your plant based things like Ents or Huons or Groot and whatnot. But very rarely do you see fungi, because you've got that, and then my absolute favorite, the Arborok from Twilight Imperium. I love the Arborok. I love that the race has a population of one. That's just cool stuff.
Isn't that basically the plot of one of Rick and Morty's adventures?
Probably. I don't know.
I think it was like a whole planet that he had dated.
Oh, well, that was more like a hive mind, like Borg, like take you over, resistance is futile kind of thing. They weren't a fungus. They were like, yeah, they would like brain parasite people. So maybe it was, yeah. But yes, he had dated the hive mind.
Yeah, 40K orcs, they're just... Everything they do, the roar bosses look good, their vehicles,
And they're very much not orcs, you know what
I mean? Correct, like, yeah, they're most definitely what you would not expect out of orcs.
Zappity.
Grumble. Then the other question here is it okay to laugh at someone's death if they are trying to prove the Earth is flat?
Yes. Yes.
Come on, Andy. And it on count of three. One, two, three. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
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 One, two, three. Yes.
I didn't know what we were doing on
the count of
three.
I didn't know what we were doing at the count of three.
I didn't know if you were going to laugh on the count of three.
I wasn't sure.
I didn't know if we were going to die on the count of three.
We could do that, too.
Oh, one, two, three.
Damn it.
It's sad that he had passed away. I mean, it sucks in that regards there, but...
I showed the video to my wife, and I said, you know, if you have the technological sophistication to build yourself a rocket, but you don't actually understand the basic physics to understand why a round Earth is the only thing that makes sense, it shouldn't be terribly surprising that you managed to get yourself killed with your rocket.
So...
Death is a tragedy and never to be welcomed, but, I mean, Schadenfreude's a thing, and it's fucking hilarious. Like, I'm sorry.
Because now he's a flat earther.
What?
So,
get it?
I'm going to click the link if they're going to tell me it, because it said that there was a video for it.
I'm not going to watch the video, but...
The page I saw... You watched it, I assume.
I've watched the video, yes.
Is it literally just a rocket going up and then coming straight back down?
Or it goes up and then the parachute falls off while it's going up.
Oh.
And you can look at that and think, oh shit. But then it just goes up and then it comes down and then it just splats into a cloud of dust.
Oh.
I mean, it's just kind of funny in how just anticlimactic it is. It just
So it's like a All right, to make it funny though, so it didn't explode, so it's basically
you have to do a slide whistle noise.
A slide whistle noise is it's going to is and then the Wile E. Coyote puffball at the bottom.
Yes,
well, yeah,
now it's funny.
Yeah, the puffball was there. So yeah,
zappity
grumble. I think that's it. Is that did I mention? Oh, yeah, what's your most recent favorite food and movie? So I forgot when I said the last movie that we have seen was we went to go see the Gentleman.
Oh yeah, Gentleman was pretty good.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know. Parasite was really good. That's the most recent film I've seen in the theater, and I was happy to have done so.
I've heard good things. I'm thinking about: do I need to go see it in the theater, or is it just fine to watch it on my TV?
Yeah, I mean it's a you know drama. Comedy, like it's not like a big action thing. I'm sure it's fine sitting on your couch and watching it.
Because it is available on PlayStation or most streaming places now.
I personally like to see everything in the theater, but that's just me because I'm such a huge cinephile. But it does not have spectacle that you will be losing by seeing it on the small screen.
I have to say meh because I literally haven't had time to watch a movie this year.
Ugh. What's your favorite food though?
It does have to be a new food.
It would be something that you haven't tried, that you've tried that you haven't had before.
That's what new meat. Yes.
I don't know. For Christmas or no, it was New Year's. I think it was New Year's. I had a sous vide recipe for prime rib, and it was fucking amazing. I still can taste how good it was in my mouth.
I made some pressure cooked shredded chicken tacos that were really, really good.
Tacos are always good. Mm-hmm. Even bad tacos are good.
Taco.
Is that your answer?
Zappity.
It's something I'll have to sit on a week. But the thing is, I'll forget about it at the end of this podcast and then just completely forget about it for next week.
Make yourself a peanut butter pickle and mayonnaise sandwich.
No.
They're good.
No.
I found a restaurant in Albuquerque, New Mexico that does deep-fried Kool-Aid pickle chips as an appetizer.
Kool-Aid?
Okay. Kool-Aid pickles. Kool-ickles. I'll make you a batch of those. I'll bring them to the next podcast. Because I did a batch of them for potluck at work last month. I was going to do some for the potluck this Tuesday, but I never got around to buying the ingredients, so it's just not happening. But I will do some Kool-ickles and bring them next week to the podcast.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. Get your brave face on. Southern boys had Kool-ickles before, right?
No, I haven't.
What the fuck? You never had a Kool-ickle?
No.
Wow, I am shocked that Southern boy over here has not had a cool lickle. I'm excited to introduce Southern culture to a Southerner.
I wasn't aware this was a Southern thing.
It
how
is.
Close is this to dill? Am I? Because I think I just like dill, which is weird because I've had other pickles and I hate almost all other
pickles. I don't
like
sweet pickles.
I don't either.
I don't like sweet pickles. These end up being a pickle that is sweet, but they don't taste like sweet pickles. They start from dill and then they are modified through science and terror to become
shockingly
good.
You're just opening
good.
Up a can of pickles and just pouring in Kool-Aid, aren't you?
Kind of. You take the jar of pickles.
Sure.
You do dill, but not kosher, because you don't want the garlic that kosher dill has. That just clashes too much. So you get dill pickles. You pour the brine out into a bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You start with a quart jar. You pour the brine into a bowl. You add 2 packets of Kool-Aid and a cup of sugar. Mix that shit up. Pour it back in. Give it a week to soak in. And you get like cherry-flavored sweetened Kool-Aid dill pickles. Cherry's the most common. I did lemon lime with my latch bass. Some people like the lemon lime more because the cherry kind of clashes with the dill, and you get this interesting like yin yang. Whereas the lemon lime like leans into the tartness of the original pickle, and so some people liked one more than the other. But cherry's the most common variety. That's what you'll get at like gas stations across the South. You'll stop at a Stuckey's, and they'll have a jar of cool pickles. I'll bring some next week. Oh yeah,
yeah. We'll
wait. No, because I won't be here next week.
Next week is next week. You're off.
I'm off next week because I'm going to be seeing MST3K live.
Yeah,
and I'm going to be bowling for colons. So 2 weeks from now, you'll get you some coolicles.
Yeah, that'll be fine. I'll give it time to rest.
And that'll be your favorite thing then.
Yeah. Recommendations?
It wasn't. Phrase is a zappity, but that question about the WTC, how drunk will you guys be? The answer is yes.
Are you drunk now? Because we already answered that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, recommendations?
Okay, if you read the screen, that's how drunk I am.
I can't even taste this chicken.
I think I mentioned this previously, but it's for the past like 2 weeks, all my PlayStation has been doing has been playing Pluto TV, because Pluto TV is the greatest goddamn thing. It's on your computer at Pluto.tv. It's on your phone as a free app. It's on your PlayStation as a free app. It is like a 400-channel cable television that's 100% free. It even has like rentable movies, almost Netflix style. Not a lot of those. You mostly just do the live TV. Mm-hmm. But it's like having 400-channel cable for free. The only downside is that it has commercials. Whoop-de-fuck. But there is a channel for everything. It has an MST3K channel and a Riff Tracks channel. It has a classic Doctor Who channel. Andy, it has a channel that 24/7 plays nothing but Forensic Files.
There's already a channel there on regular cable.
Sure, but not really, though. There's basically that. But there's the Forensic Files right next to Cold Case, which is also a 24-hour channel, right next to New Detectives, which is also a 24-hour channel. There is a fucking Antiques Roadshow channel. Everything has a goddamn channel on it. There's a Tosh.0 channel. Why is there a Tosh.0 channel? But the point is, if you want to find something to just binge random, why the fuck is this here? Pluto TV is amazing, and it's free, and it's on every goddamn electronical platform you can think of.
Okay.
We need to start a Kickstarter to try to find a guy that sounds like the guy from Forensic Files so we can get them to start making Forensic Files again. Because the guy that produced Forensic Files doesn't make the show anymore because of the guy who was the narrator passed away. But, yeah, man, Forensic Files so good. I was wondering when I saw Raylene posting something about Forensic Files on your on your wall or something there.
Okay. I will recommend, since this came up earlier in the podcast, the Mark Knopfler album Sailing to Philadelphia, which is my absolute favorite album. And, I mean, it's as I had mentioned before, is not Knopfler's solo work hasn't gotten nearly as much attention as his work in Dire Straits. But I thought his solo work overall is better, and Sailing to Philadelphia is my favorite album of his. There are most of the rest of his albums are also great as well, but that's my favorite one. And so I would suggest anybody interested in it would take musical advice from us would be to listen to Sailing to Philadelphia. Knopfler in his solo career, especially, and he also did this towards the end of working in Dire Straits. He had a habit of writing a lot of songs about historical things, which is one of the things I absolutely love, and there are several of those in Sailing to Philadelphia.
Nice. We should go to Philadelphia.
While he was talking, I was scrolling through the channel list for Pluto TV, and I just found out they have a channel that 24/7 just plays movies from the asylum. The people who do like Transmorphers and Atlantic Rim.
Yeah.
And I Am Omega, because I Am Legend was a thing.
Transmorphers, not a bad film. Compared to Transformers.
American Gladiators?
Do they have Battle Dome on there? Look on there and tell me if they have Battle Dome.
All right, I'll keep scrolling while you give your recommendation. Although, Mark Knopfler's good stuff.
You can't do a search for Battle Dome?
I don't... Listen.
Just Battle Dome. It's not going to... No, it's not going to be in the Asylum things. It's just Battle Dome.
What?
Battle Dome.
Yeah, I know what Battle Dome is. I don't know what you mean. It's not going to be in the Asylum thing.
Oh, I thought
I'm scrolling through the list of Pluto TV channels.
I thought you were looking on the Asylum channel for Battle Dome.
Did you think American Gladiators was on the Asylum channel?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought you were looking for something on the American Gladiators channel.
No.
No.
You confused both of us. You confuse both of us in different ways. No. That takes talent.
Do you? I'm good. So my recommendation is you should load up your Prime Video subscription and you should give this series a chance. Carnival Row. I've heard a lot of good things about it from previous people. Or not from previous people. But
previous
people.
Dead people have told you good things.
Man, it is... From everything that I've researched on it, I don't think it's actually anything derived from something else. So it's not a book by somebody. It's not a comic. You know, it's not like a fairy tale, but it is a fairy tale. It's derived basically from everything. So it's original-ish in that regards. Everything takes place basically pretty much during the industrial age, basically, as things are starting to come into place. So there's trains and such. It's a Victorian...
It's Victorian era Shadowrun, where it's like, you know, it's not fantasy, but fantasy shit exists during that time frame, so it's like a different take.
That is a much better explanation of it. Have you seen it at all?
I'm familiar with it. I know that that one actress is a fairy in it. Not Emily Browning. Is it Emily Browning? No.
I don't know.
It might actually be Emily Browning. Let me see. I'm probably wrong, though.
Overall, that's a very good way to say it, though. It is Shadowrun in the Victorian age. Everything is just really well done. The storyline actually keeps you.
Oh, Cara Delevingne. Yeah, that's who I was thinking of.
The storyline keeps you guessing pretty much up until the final episode. Like it's overall you should watch it.
Is it done?
No, there is going to be a season two coming out.
Well, sure, but this season is done.
This season is done.
Yeah.
So. In Prime actually releases, I think, everything all at once. It's not like Hulu. Well, maybe.
Yeah. It might depend on the show.
Yeah. But it is all done. It's only 8 episodes. It's well acted. The CGI, the characters look, it looks like it's a full 8-hour movie. It's,
sure.
Overall, it's just a very neat and intriguing. It's probably one of the more original. Again, it still pulls from a lot of different things, but it's more of an original product, kind of like how Into the Badlands is. It pulls from a ton of different things, but it's like original TV.
Unlike everything on Pluto TV.
Yeah.
It's also an Unsolved Mysteries channel.
Speaking of Unsolved Mysteries, I'm very disappointed that they didn't find somebody that sounds like Robert Stack to voice Ultra Magnus in the... In the new Netflix Transformers 3-part movie cartoon. Did you see that?
No.
So I posted it on our wall, though. Yeah. But it's Transformers War for Cybertron.
You could have Robert Stack voice Ultra Magnus right now.
No, you can't.
Sure you can. No. Yeah, and that would be giving Ultra Magnus the correct number of lines.
No, he's dead.
Correct.
No.
Correct. So he can just shut up.
Also, so Prime doesn't really sound like Prime. I think it is. They didn't actually say who was doing it.
Rodimus doesn't sound like him?
Shut up.
Rodimus doesn't sound like himself?
Shut up. Shut up. I got multiple sharp things around here.
Rodimus Prime?
Yeah. No, but like Megatron doesn't sound like Megatron. He's not as raspy as enough. That's kind of the one things I really miss about. I mean, it's still the same Frank Welker that's doing Megatron, but he doesn't do him.
He's
as
older.
Raspy.
Yeah, it's
he
like,
should be raspy. He's old.
Yeah. Well, it's like when they had the lost footage that they re-implemented into The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and they had Eli Wallach do the voiceover for Tuco again, and he sounded nothing like Tuco because it had been 40 goddamn years.
Yeah.
So he sounded wrong, and it's like it would have been way better if they just got somebody else to do the voice.
Yeah. Or somebody sounds similar to him. Yeah. I mean, if
it's like the Lee Van Cleef character sounded great because he was dead. So they found someone who sounded like Lee Van Cleef 40 years ago. But and Clint Eastwood sounded fine because Clint Eastwood has always sounded like he was 80. It was just Tuco that just all of a sudden he sounded wrong.
Yeah.
Where was he sailing from?
England.
To Philadelphia.
Yeah, the song is about Mason and Dixon.
I don't think you can get to Philadelphia via England. That's a very long portage.
It's a long ocean voyage. Yes.
But Mason Dixon, they were down in the South.
Is it Philadelphia?
Yeah, but they were both they were both Englishmen.
Isn't Philadelphia landlocked?
No.
Is it?
No.
No, they were
I may be getting Pittsburgh in Philadelphia.
You're thinking of Pittsburgh.
It was the surveyor and astronomer that surveyed the line between Maryland and Pennsylvania.
That's what the song's about?
Yeah.
Oh, it's weird.
Remember the guy that figured out that if you had a clock on your boat, you could figure out what longitude you were at?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Because time's different depending on where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have a clock like based on... You'd have an England clock that you never touched. I mean, you wound it, but you never adjusted it. And then you had your clock that you based on where you were. And then you could figure out where you were because they'd be different from each other. Because noon in England is different than noon in the middle of the ocean and stuff like that.
Yeah, because you had a chart that you would look at what time it was in England, where the sun was in the sky, and figure out where you were.
Yeah, I have a book about that guy that's autographed.
Way too much science on this podcast.
Science!
Way too much. I can't handle it.
He made a nice chunk of money off of that because the crown was offering a prize of like I think it was like £25,000, which is like almost $1 million in modern funds.
Yep.
For somebody that could solve the problem.
And he was like, "Science, bitch," to the queen, and then he was beheaded.
Do I get to Grouchy because that was actually engineering, not science?
No, because I was quoting Breaking Bad, so it was okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Are you like texting? What's happening over here?
I'm typing in. I started this here. So what's the first result that you expect to come out of? Is Philadelphia? Because I was going to do, is Philadelphia landlocked? So what is the first Google response?
Oh, Jesus. Is Philadelphia
on fire?
Cream cheese healthy?
Nope. It just says, is Philadelphia safe?
No. Don't leave us hanging, Andy. Is it safe? Is it landlocked?
No.
Is the cream cheese
just
healthy?
Looking here.
Is it on fire?
It says it mentions landlocked states, but it's...
Pennsylvania's not landlocked.
No.
Pennsylvania's not landlocked. Oh, but I didn't know if Philadelphia was, if it's like all the way down the bottom southeast corner. Is that where it's at?
Yeah.
If it was in the southeast corner, it wouldn't be landlocked because that's where the ocean is.
Yeah.
Philadelphia isn't exactly.
The southwest corner would be landlocked.
Yeah. That's the point. That's why Philadelphia was a huge city, is that it was on a river with access to the ocean.
Okay. That makes sense.
I guess it's still a huge city, but why
but,
it was
but
a
I mean,
huge
New
city
Jersey is basically taking
ago.
Up that whole side there.
Yeah.
That's a horrible map of the U.S., though, too, because it looks like there's
those are big rivers all around all of our city, everywhere. All of our states. Plus, I mean, you can be non-landlocked without being actually on the ocean because,
yeah.
You know, Milwaukee and Chicago aren't anywhere near the ocean, but they're still massive
ocean
port
ships
cities.
Could get to them.
Correct.
That jump over Niagara Falls is amazing.
Yeah, I think that's how that works. Niagara Falls is right there at the top of Lake Erie.
Yeah.
But yeah, Pittsburgh is or Philadelphia, sorry, is on the Delaware River, which feeds which directly into the Atlantic. So yeah, you can sail directly from England to Philadelphia.
All right, I was questioning the genius of Mark Knopfler. Yeah. So
never question the genius of Mark Knopfler. Well, I mean, he was in UHF.
I mean, to make to sort of make that even weirder, the cover of the album is an airplane.
Why is a song about sailing to people who then walked across with the line, with the plane, lady?
The plane. I am not exactly sure why the cover is a plane, but it is.
It's not bad. Moon Rising.
All right, I'm done center with field. This.
Zephany, Rumble. Thanks, guys, for watching. We'll see you guys next week. Nathan won't be here next week. I'll try to find a replacement. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that we can find some folks so happy to join us.
You just need someone who swears a lot and has a nasally voice. I believe in you.